Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. How many love the Lord tonight? Amen. Amen. I know that the Lord is good tonight. Amen. I'm searching. I found the God to be true tonight. Amen. I know that He's a God that never fails us. He never comes up short. And we're all here aligned in God's purpose and in God's plan for this end time revival. Can we say amen? If you have a word of the Lord tonight, I promise I will not keep you long. 1 Samuel chapter number 30 tonight. Amen. Appreciate the word of the Lord. Amen. Always an honor to be in the presence of the Lord this today. And I always live by this principle that I never want to leave the same way that I came. But I also believe that you'll get out of it what you put into it. I also believe it's not the preacher's job to make you put something in it. I believe if you really need something from God on Monday, you can get that what you need tonight. Can we say amen? If you need the Holy Ghost, you can get the Holy Ghost tonight. If you need baptized, you can get baptized tonight. If you need a healing, God can meet that need tonight. But whatever you put in it is what you get out of it tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse number one. The Bible says, and it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and spent Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and the wives and his sons and his daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. My. And David's two wives were taken captives, Adonijah and Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But the Bible says, in the midst of everything that was happening to David, nobody there to pat him on the back. He wasn't singing praises now. He was all by himself. But the Bible says David took time to encourage himself in the Lord. I want to stop right there. I want to stop. And I want to minister to you tonight on just a simple thought tonight. I'll be honest with you, I had something else prepared to preach. And I was ready. And I told your pastor, I said, man, we're going to turn this place upside down tonight. But the Lord saw different this morning tonight. I want to obey the Lord tonight. I don't have I don't know what God's going to do, but I want to minister to you from just this simple thought, because the Bible says that David had lost everything. He was in a pit. He was distressed. And I know that distressed people don't want to praise God. Distressed people, the last thing they want to do is to be around people who are excited. But David was now, he was distressed. But David done something that turned the whole course of his life around. The Bible says that David encouraged himself, not a preacher, not an evangelist, not his wife, not his husband, but he encouraged himself. And when David encouraged himself in the Lord, things started to happen. I want to minister to you from this thought tonight. I've got to get myself together. I've got to get myself together. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you, God, for what I feel in this house. I love you tonight, Jesus. God, you're going to minister to somebody, God. We've got to get ourselves together. And I would pray, God, you're sweeping this congregation. Move from north to south, east to west, God, I pray. Touch everyone who's struggling. Touch every mind, every heart today, God, I pray. But God, do something in this sanctuary tonight, God. For your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Turn around, shake your neighbor's hand. Let them know Jesus loves them. And tell them something good is about to happen. And saying. If you mean what you said, you can be seated. If not, you can remain standing until the Lord comes back. Amen. When I first got into church, and I remember one of the elders telling me, you know, he said, listen, when you first get in church, you know, read the book of Acts and get a counsel from that, and all that's fine. But as time went on, I start preaching, Brother Runyon, and start evangelizing. And I realized that if I'm ever want to get encouraged, I've got to get into the book and find somebody who's just going to encourage me. I've got to find a good, comfortable word that when I'm going through the mother grubs, there's somebody in that Bible who could say something that'll lift me up. And I found nobody who could do those things but David. He would write psalms that'll lift you up. He would write psalms that says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Those kinds of words that lets me know that if I'm walking through a lonely valley, that God's always going to be with me. Amen. We're talking about David. The Bible says he's a man after God's own heart. That even though David had faced some difficult times, God was always with David. I believe that David had a dependency. He had a trust on God. And he knew that God, if God brought him to a thing, God had the power to bring him through a thing. David, always these words of bless the Lord at all times, that his praise shall be upon me. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt. David, with those exalting words that'll lift anybody up, amen. But in our text, we find a total different viewpoint of David's life. For we find now David is coming from a battle which should be a time of great rejoicing. Because he just won a battle. He's with his friends and they're going back to Ziklag. But as he approaches Ziklag, he smells something different. Things just didn't line up as when he left home. For the Bible says, as he approaches Ziklag, he realizes that things are now different. That smile that was on his face, those hand claps, so the sound of victory now is turning to sound of defeat, because now he realizes that everything that he invested in, everything that he had acclaimed, his family, his houses, everything that has much value to him now has been taken away from him. The enemy has now taken not just David's wives, but now it's literally taken his comrades' family. So now those men who used to walk hand in hand with David, now they don't want to be his friend. The Bible says that they thought about stoning David. Can you imagine after fighting battles with friends and you're fighting foes, but the same ones who were with you in combat, now they're turning their back on you and they want to stone you. Imagine what David's going through now. Not a time. This is not a time to pick up a pen and pad and say, I will bless the Lord at all times. No. It's not a time to rejoice and shout and magnify the Lord with me, because now the Bible says David now is in distress. He's in total chaos. He's in total disarray. And I believe anxiety has now set in. And I believe those dark clouds are starting to show up. I believe the thunder's starting to roar. And life is not supposed to be like it. Because after all, if David could ever write a perfect picture, David would say, I returned from battle and everything was fine. But that's not what the Bible's telling us tonight. The Bible's telling us that David is in total distress. And let me pause and let somebody know tonight that you can sympathize with David tonight. You've been in those situations where you've lost everything. You've been to those times where your back is against the wall. You've been there where you thought about just giving up and friends have turned their back. You've been there where your heart's been broken. You've been living a life of distress and you've even asked yourself, Lord, what shall I do? Life is not supposed to be like this. I'm not supposed to deal with the sickness. I don't know how to deal with the chaos. I don't know how to deal with the calamity. My friends have forsaken me, but now I'm distressed. It seems as though the story could end right there and we can give an altar call. But David does something so dramatic. When there was nobody else around to pat him on the back, when he couldn't get a phone call through or he couldn't get a text through, David does something so ironic, because understand something. The Bible says, rejoice not against me, all my enemies, because when I fall, I shall arise. The Bible never tells us, amen, that when I fall, they shall help me get up. But the Bible says that when I fall, there is going to come a day when you're going to fall. You're going to suffer, amen. You're going to have some good days and some bad days. But can I tell you, the key to victory is that when you fall, you just got to get back up. When you made some mistakes, just come to an altar of mercy and ask God to forgive you. So David's here. What shall I do? But he does something so ironic. David takes a little bit of time, Brother Biddle, and he says, you know what? I have nobody to encourage me, but I know I'm in the will of God right now. I know God has destiny on my life, and I'm never going to receive God's blessings if I stay down in the ashes, which is a representation of, can I preach to somebody right now, that all you see is ashes. All you see is the hurt and the remembrance of what used to be. I've come to preach. It's time to shake off some ashes, because you're going to realize God has a plan for your life. God has debt. See, he's resting in ashes. And all the ashes were, there was a representation of what used to be. They reminded him of the pain. They reminded him of the days that he was broken. They reminded him of the abuse. They reminded him of the situations where he didn't think he was going to get out. So if David ever going to get victory, he's got to shake off the ashes, the remembrance of the hurt and the mental abuse. He's got to shake himself off, because if he doesn't, all he has is ashes. David takes time. Nobody else was around him, surrounded by ashes. And he said, you know what? I believe David said this. If I'm ever going to see victory, if I'm ever going to see the greatness of God, I can't depend on nobody else. I've got to get myself together right now. I know I may be hurting. I know I may be falsely accused. I know I may be sick. I may have my joy stripped away from me. But tonight on Monday, I've come to prophesy. Let somebody know it's time to get yourself together. Get out of the ashes. Stop playing games. Make up in your mind. I'm going to get myself together right now. I'm tired of the hurt and the mental abuse and the emptiness on the inside. I'm going to get myself together. The difficult part about it is we love to depend on everyone else to help us. Let's be honest. Nobody wants to hear a drummer play unless he's got a praise team with him. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Nobody wants to sing unless we've got the drummers and we got the keyboard, because what happens is we can depend on each other. These guys can start singing, and they don't even have to look at the drummer or the keyboarder. They can just give them a little wink, and they already know what's going on, because they can depend on them. But what happens when you don't have a keyboard player? What happens when you don't have a drum player? Can you be like David, and you still praise God in the middle of the ashes? Let me preach to you tonight. Can you still worship God when you're bankrupt? Can you still worship God when you're back? Can you still worship God when all you see is nothing but ashes? Hurt, the pain. But David says, you know what? If I'm ever going to see the greatness of God for my life, hear me, somebody, tonight. If I'm ever going to see the greatness of God for my life, David says, this thing become personal, because I've got to get myself together. I've got to do the spiritual inventory checkup. I've got to make sure my heart is right. I've got to make sure my mind is right. I've got to make sure my actions are right. I've got to make sure my words are right. I've got to make sure my spirit is right. I've got to do a self-check inventory before I pursue the blessings of God. I've got to get myself right tonight. I've got to make, before I leave this building, that it's well with my soul. I've got to make sure that I'm right in the eyes of God, not the eyes of men. I've got to make sure my heart is right and my worship is pure and my praise is exciting, because
guess what happens next after David gets a little fire in him? He gets a little zeal in him because now no one was around to encourage David. No one was there to pat him on the back. But now that David has got himself together, now that David has dusted off the ashes and the pain of what used to have him bound, he dusted off the shackles. He dusted off the pain, the hurt, the misery. He dusted off the distress, the hurt, the anger, the bitterness, the pride of life. He had to dust all that off. And when David started dusting it off, his eyes started to open again. He started to see clearly now. And he realized, Lord, what shall I do? And notice what the Lord said, David, I want you to pursue it. Lord, David, now that you've come out, it's time to go to the enemy's camp and take back everything that hell has stolen from you. Let me tell you, you got to get yourself together. If you're going to ever recover, you've got to get things right. If you're ever going to go pursue, you've got to get yourself together. We can preach about the pursuing part, but David never would have pursued and recovered except he first got himself together. I want to drive this home tonight in the Holy Ghost to let you know that revival is in this house tonight. Come on, somebody. I know it's Monday, but can I tell you, revival's in this house tonight. And while we're sitting back in our Pentecostal lazy boys and we're waiting on God, God has said, no, I'm waiting on a group of people to get themselves together and realize that the kingdom of God is getting ready to expand. He's about to add to the church daily such as should be saved. I've got to get myself right tonight. You may have messed up, but that's okay. Get it right tonight. Get it beneath the blood of Calvary and let God wash you. Why? I've got to get myself right tonight. Problem is, we think we make so many mistakes that God doesn't love us. Can I tell you what I see tonight? I see a bunch of people that God wants to use. But preach, I don't have nothing to give. Yes, you do. You got a whole lot to give to the kingdom. Can I tell you somebody? I don't know who this is, but you need to forgive yourself. Forgive yourself. Forgive yourself tonight. I don't know who you are. I don't know your background. But I just feel in the Holy Ghost. Somebody needs to look self in the mirror and forgive yourself. Because if you never forgive yourself, you're never going to pursue. Come on, preaching. I wish to God somebody said, Lord, I'm sorry. I want to get back down to Calvary. I want to feel your love and mercy tonight. But Lord, I've got to get myself right tonight. Because now that David pursues, he recovers all. Here's the greatest part. Without fail, he's going to get back everything that the enemy thought he stole his joy. Some of you folks, the devil thought he stole your joy. He thought he stole your peace. But by sitting there, lets him know that he has stolen everything from you. But when you make up in your mind, devil, you're not going to steal my joy. You're not going to steal my peace. You're not going to mess up my marriage. You're not going to take my kids. You're not going to take my joy. You're not going to take my health. I'm going to let you know by my actions that I'm going to recover everything that hell has stolen from you. I'm not playing games. I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to check in and check out. I realize that the great ones on the inside of me, what God promised me, is going to come to pass. So I may have to struggle. I may have to dust off some ashes. I may have to shake some hands. I may have to kick off some feet. No matter what, I've got to get myself right tonight. Because if anybody knew what it really feels like to struggle, let's go look at our friend David. He sins with Bathsheba. He covers up his tracks, and man, he's living a good life. And this is the man who's after God's own heart. But all of a sudden, there's a knock at the door. His sin is revealed. This David went through all of that to get to this point where now he's in distress. Come on, David, you had a man's wife, a woman's husband killed, and now you're distressed. He's so low, you can't go no lower. And to make matters worse, man, he has no comrades in battle now. He has no homeboys or no buddies he can depend on because they want to kill him now. It's a bad place to be in. But he does something so ironic. The Bible says that he takes his time. He takes his time. I don't believe it was a quick process, but he took his time to get himself together. Can I tell you, folks, that getting yourself together is a process. And listen, God's a quick God. God does things dramatic. But I believe that there are times where God allows you to go through the process of pain. He'll allow you to go through the process of frustration to where you get so low in life, you have no choice but to depend on God. The Bible says when you're down to your wit's end, you've got no other choice but to depend on God. But I believe this, that when David lost everything, when David suffered, he began to have a flashback and remembered the God that brought him through some stuff. And when David was down to nothing, he realized, I'm just going to get myself together tonight. This is just another stump in the road of this thing called life. And if I can ever learn to get myself together, I'll hear a word from God. And once he got himself together, once he took off the filthiness, the pride of life, and got him, then he said, Lord, now what shall I do? And the Lord said, David, pursue. Pursue. In other words, David, you're not going to sit here. You're not going to stay in the ashes. I want you to get up, David, and I want you to pursue because victory is yours, but you got to go get it. Can I tell somebody tonight? You may need the Holy Ghost tonight, but can I tell you, if you'll just get yourself together, the Lord said it's time to get up and pursue. And when you come pursuing after the Holy Ghost, he's going to pour it on you tonight. But you got to make it for you, my Lord. I've got to get myself right tonight. I've got some mental abuse that I'm dealing with. I've got some things in my past that's holding me hostage, but I'm coming to tell you, it's time to let go of the past. Don't let the pain keep you hostage. Don't let people keep you hostage, but you got to forget those things which are behind me, and you got to press towards his garment. You got to come out the ashes swinging. You got to come out of prison praising. You got to come out of the cave with your hands in the air giving God praise, because victory shall be mine. Come on, somebody, clap your hands on a Monday. But how bad do you want to recover? I can't make you tonight, as bad as I love you. I can't make you pursue the blessings of God for your life. I would love to do that, but I can't do that because David takes a whole different approach, because now it becomes personal. Your wife can't make you pursue the blessings of God. You got to have the want to. And I do realize everybody wants to go, but everybody doesn't want to do what it takes to get to heaven. Everybody wants to go, but everybody doesn't want to do what it takes to get things right with God. But David said, if I'm going to get things right, I've got to get myself together tonight. If I'm going to see the blessings of God, if I'm going to pursue what I've already lost, because God has greater for your life. God is saying that tonight, if you'll just get yourself together, get your mind made up tonight. I made some mistakes, but that's not going to keep me from pursuing God. I've got some issues. I don't have life altogether, but tonight, I'm going to make up in my mind. I'm going to do whatever I have to do, lay down every weight of sin. I'm going to run this race with patience. I'm going to give up the addiction. I'm going to get my mind right tonight. Lord, no matter what I got to do tonight, I'm coming out of the corner swinging, and I'm going to pursue everything God has for me. I'm going to go pursue it tonight. How far are you willing to go tonight to receive what God has for you? Let's lift our hands in this house tonight, all throughout this tabernacle. how far you're willing to go tonight. How far are you willing to go? As a matter of fact, while you got your hands in the air, I believe all throughout this house, you should already be repenting, getting your mind together. You should already be getting your heart together tonight. I know you didn't intend on being in that storm, but God knew. I know you didn't intend on dealing with the sickness, but God knew. I know you didn't have intentions on dealing with the heartache, but God knew. And on this Monday morning, the Holy Ghost is sending this preacher to let you know that if you'll get yourself together, if you'll get your mind right, if you'll get out of the shackles, the things that beset you, God said, I've got a blessing that you're going to pursue with your name on it. Come on, I said, you just pray. Come on, you pray in the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody pray. Come on, if you'll tap into God right now, amen, he'll pour something on you. If you'll tap into him, I know you've got some mistakes. I know you're not perfect. Welcome to the club. None of us are perfect. God is still working on us. But I realize I've got to get myself right. I've got to get myself together because nobody's going to help me. I've got to become, this thing has to become personal. David encourages himself. And then he pursues everything that God has for him. The thing about it is we want all the blessings, but we don't want to change. I want everything God has for me, but God, I just can't let go of it right now. You're dealing with ashes, your emotions, your heart, your mind, everything's warring against your mind. You can't think right. You're so distracted. You can't think right. But God said it only takes a second. It only takes 1 second for you to get your mind right. It only takes 1 second for you to get things right. Because when you start getting things right, then you'll start speaking to God and God will start speaking to you. But God's not going to speak until you get things right. God's not going to speak until you make up in your mind tonight, Lord, I'm sorry. God, I want to go back. God, I don't want to go back. God, I want something new. I want something refreshing. And when you start pouring out to God, you're emptying out an empty vessel. Well, God begins to pour something into that he can use. But God's never going to bless you tonight. God's never going to change you tonight until you first get yourself together. And it starts at an altar. Let's all stand tonight. Starts at an altar, because here's the thing about an altar. Things die at an altar. We lay things down at an altar and we vow never to pick them up. Lives are changed at an altar. Altars aren't pretty. Altars aren't pleasant. Dead things die at an altar. Repent, you go to an altar. You lay down the old man at an altar. And you vow never to pick it up again. You may be struggling tonight. Hear me tonight. You can find mercy and forgiveness at an altar. Who wouldn't want to go to an altar where you can find mercy and forgiveness at an altar? Preach, I've got so many mistakes. I've got so many mess ups. God, I don't even think God ever hears me. That's okay. God doesn't have to hear you. But he sees you. God don't have to hear you, but he sees you. He knows exactly which way your feet are going. He knows exactly what you're thinking. He knows exactly what's in. Oh, we got good intentions. Out of mercy, who said, I wish I could have, then I would have if I had one more chance. But tonight, I can't preach about the ones who are not here. You may be watching on webcast and agree, we love you. But I can't preach if you're not here. I can only preach the ones here that the Holy Ghost has placed in my heart to let somebody know in this house. It may not be for everybody. Brother Bo, I'm thinking more about the world. Come on now. Why?
about letting somebody know that tonight you need to get yourself together.
I love you. I love everyone. But you know, my goal is that one day, Sister Ruby, I can walk up and say, hey, we made it. I can walk up and say, hey, look, there, we made it.
Right, because you got to make it. Preacher, you don't know what I'm dealing with. I don't know. Get yourself together. It's been a long time since I felt him. It's been a long time since I prayed. It's been a long time since I spoke in tongues. Get yourself together. He's not going to pour a blessing.
I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. God, I want my family to be saved. So, God, I'm making a vow to you right now, Lord. I'm not going to turn back. Wherever you want me to go, I'm going to go. Because above all else, I'm going to make it. I'm going to be saved. I've come to preach to somebody tonight that I know you have some mistakes. I know you got some flaws. But there's a perfect God said, if you'll just come tonight and get things right. Is drawn in this house. God almost shut to him. You know who you are tonight. I'm not going to come get you. I know you may have some flaws. This is not a pretty altar call. This is not a perfect altar. But things die at this place. Lives are changed in this house. So if the Holy Ghost is speaking to you tonight, I wish you leave your pew in Jesus' name and say, Lord, I'm coming to get myself right tonight. I'm not coming for blessings. I'm not coming for riches. But tonight I want a space of grace. I want to meet you in the altar so I can get my life right tonight.
So right now in this house, I'm going to ask you, don't look at your neighbor. Don't look at your spouse. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at this preacher. Don't look at Facebook. Don't look at your wallet. Don't look at none of that stuff. But I'm going to ask you right now in this house, I want you to leave your pew right now in Jesus' name. I don't want you to wait, but I want you to leave your pew. And I want you to come down to this altar. And your prayer is, God, I'm coming because I want to get things right tonight. I'm not perfect by no means. I have nothing.